During the last 300 years, thousands of dams have been built on America's rivers. They've helped create drinking water reservoirs, build lakes, and generate power. But one of their unintended consequences has been an impact on fish, especially species like salmon and shad, which need to migrate between rivers and the ocean. For these fish, dams are barriers. This week on Field Notes, naturalist Lori Sanders profiles efforts in Connecticut to help fix this problem.
When Europeans first settled New England, they marveled at the size of the spring runs of herring, alewives, and shad. Between April and June, millions of fish would return from the ocean, crowd into coastal rivers and streams, and jockey their way upriver to reach their freshwater spawning grounds. But by the mid-1800s, these spectacular runs were in steep decline, and the link between dwindling stocks and the presence of dams was well understood. Although people tried to build special structures to help get fish over dams, it's only been in the last few decades that biologists have learned enough about fish migration to design and build devices, from chutes and ladders to mechanical elevators, that attract fish and work effectively. Tim Wildman of the Connecticut Department of Environmental Protection is one of those biologists.
So I'll just go down there and work my way up to the fishway, and hopefully we can find some juveniles.
In front of us is a big dam, 60 feet high, that forms Bunnell's Pond on the Pequannock River in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Along one side, stretching from the top of the dam to the river bottom, is a metal fishway. To survey what's living in the water below the dam, Wildman uses a piece of equipment that includes a heavy-duty battery connected to two long metal probes. When he turns on the current, a jolt of electricity passes into the water, and any fish nearby gets temporarily stunned and rolls into view.
Sunfish, pumpkin seed, American eel. Good numbers of eels down here.
American eel is one of the species that Wildman focuses on. And he says if we'd come later in the day, we'd also see lots of juvenile river herring. In the spring, thousands of adult herring migrate up this river and use the fishway to get over the dam and into the pond where they spawn. August and September is the peak time for the three-month-old juveniles to swim over the spillway and down to Long Island Sound. Wildman says it was the presence of a few alewife and American eels at the base of this dam that prompted the state to add a fishway 7 years ago.
So we had something to work with. They went into the head pond, successfully reproduced, and when we came back, we found the fishway absolutely chock-a-block full with juveniles.
That success was even sweeter considering the condition of the river downstream from the dam. From here to Long Island Sound, 4 miles away, the Pequannock River is bordered by pavement and cement. In spite of that, Wildman says he and his colleagues were actually more concerned about the length of their fishway than the quality of the habitat.
This happens to be the longest Alaskan steep pass that we know of on the East Coast. And so we were a little bit worried when we first constructed it that it might be just too long, the dam might be too high for alewives to successfully utilize it.
To get the right slope and water velocity, this particular fishway had to be 130 feet long. It's shaped like a narrow trough. In several places, the trough opens up into a resting pool.
The river herring that we're passing at this fishway are very, very strong migrants. They're strong swimmers. With this, because the dam is so high, we need them to have areas of slower moving water where they can rest and restore their energy.
American eels, the other species of interest at this dam, don't use this metal fishway to get over the dam. Instead, they use something that's much lower tech and a lot cheaper to buy, install, and maintain.
What we've done is draped a old trawl net through a 4-inch pipe that pours water down the face of the dam. It provides them that wetted substrate so that they're able to ascend successfully into the head pond, and some will continue migrating further upstream.
These modifications are important, Wildman says. American eel and river herring are experiencing serious population declines throughout their natural range. For eels, overfishing and hydropower turbines are the main culprits. For river herring, the causes have been much more difficult to identify. Back in the mid-80s, no one was worried about them. At that point, they seemed to have recovered. At the fish lift in Holyoke, Massachusetts, spring migrations of blueback herring routinely numbered around 500,000. Then, in the 1990s, the numbers began to drop and drop and drop. This spring, only 74 herring passed through the Holyoke fish lift. Weilman says biologists up and down the East Coast are trying to help these fish recover. They're regulating harvests, working with others to improve water quality, and they're doing what he's doing, reconnecting fish to their historic spawning grounds.
I absolutely love what I do. As a fish biologist working with this program, I get to restore access for these native fish species to areas of the state that they haven't been for over 200 years. I'm restoring a natural resource to the state of Connecticut.
By removing dams and installing fishways, Connecticut has opened up more than 100 miles of river habitat that was previously inaccessible to anadromous fish. For Field Notes, I'm Laurie Sanders.
Funding for this segment of Field Notes was made possible by the Long Island Sound Futures Fund, ensuring the future of the sound through education, habitat restoration, and wise stewardship. For more information, visit www.longislandsoundstudy.net.